Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. President Trump signed a roughly $2 trillion stimulus package into law last week, an aggressive response by Congress to the coronavirus pandemic that has battered the nation's economy. The legislation is the largest relief package in U.S. history and extends aid to many struggling Americans. But as the health crisis drags on, many are wondering, will it be enough? And how should state leaders supplement the resources being offered to the unemployed? News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle put those questions to Patrick McHugh, a senior economic analyst with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center.
Well, Patrick, thank you very much for taking time to join us this morning.
Oh, absolutely. I just wish it was under better circumstances.
As we deal with this unprecedented health crisis, we're also dealing with an economic crisis, and it appears that every sector is likely to be affected. Paint a picture, if you will, for our listeners of where we are right now.
Well, you're absolutely right to draw the comparison between the health crisis and our economic crisis, because in both instances, the COVID-19 outbreak is really revealing a lot of the weakness, fragility of our social and economic system in this country and in North Carolina. You're right to say that this is going to hit everybody, that there's not going to be many sectors that escape the impact of this, even sectors that are not going to collapse entirely are certainly going to be impacted. Unfortunately, as is so often the case when a crisis arises, the hammer's falling first and hardest on the folks that are least able to cope with it, that have the least economic cushion to fall back on. So what we're seeing right now is an unprecedented level of folks filing for unemployment. And a lot of that, not all, but a lot of it, is definitely concentrated in this first wave in the sort of consumer services jobs that are many of them, you know, low-wage jobs with no benefits. And a lot of folks that work in those jobs have really no way of saving for times like this. So we're talking about jobs in retail, restaurants, accommodation, recreation. Those are places where the hammer's falling first. And again, those are the sorts of jobs that we've seen a lot of growth in those jobs over the last decade. Unfortunately, a lot of the employment growth in North Carolina in the last decade has been concentrated in those kinds of low-wage jobs. And so it leaves our state and the folks in those jobs extremely vulnerable to something like this over which they have no control. So we're going to need really sustained action from both the federal and the state and local levels to make sure that this crisis doesn't absolutely devastate families across the state.
Yeah, North Carolina ended 2019 with a 3.7% jobless rate, but we've now seen unemployment claims just mushroom in a matter of days. Is this likely to be a long-term displacement for these people, meaning is it likely to extend beyond a quarter?
I have a hard time seeing this being a short-term blip. It's really hard to see how this doesn't have a long impact. So, yeah, I mean, nobody can really say with any certainty just how long this downturn is going to last, but it seems highly unlikely to me that this is constrained to just a couple of months.
And you spent a good deal of time reviewing the $2 trillion package in Congress. Is that going to be enough to help workers and small business owners who've been affected?
Short answer, no. I mean, it's a good down payment, and it's a big number. It's at least good to see Congress taking this seriously and putting real resources behind an initial support bill. But this is not the sort of long-term fix that's actually going to make workers whole or even allow them to survive a prolonged downturn. And it's definitely not the sort of long-term stimulus that is going to pull us out of this. If you really look at, you know, the direct cash payment to individuals, I mean, it's, again, the most important thing is to get cash into the pockets of folks that are hurting right now. So kudos to Congress for making moves in that direction in an pretty big way. But that's still not going to be enough to fill the hole. And again, this goes back to just how little cushion so many North Carolinians have to fall back on. The most recent data that we have showed that more than 40% of North Carolinians couldn't survive above the poverty line for 3 months in the absence of income. payments, they definitely help. And the additions to the state unemployment reimbursement will definitely help. But unfortunately, our unemployment insurance system was so stingy already, one of the most inadequate in the country. And so the gap that we had to fill is still substantially larger than what is in that initial Senate package.
Yeah, Americans have been told to expect checks around $1,200. But as this stretches into April and May, one has to wonder, is it going to be enough? And of course, those individual checks, the idea is that people spend them to get the economy going. And that comes at a time when most of us are being told to stay home, not go out.
Well, right. And again, this is where I think it's absolutely, I know some folks are trying to paint that as a stimulus measure, but I think that's wholly inaccurate. This is at best a modicum of survival measure. This is not the sort of thing that's going to cause us to bounce right back out of this recession and out of this crisis. Because as you say, I mean, first of all, folks, if they're going to spend it because they have to get by, to put food on the table, to keep paying rent, to keep the electricity on. So that's going to get consumed really quickly by just the basic necessities of life. And as you say, the sort of rebound that would pull us out of this recession requires folks to be able to get out and about. And there's all kinds of, as you mentioned earlier, all kinds of industries that are going to suffer from this. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of consumer sectors dry up, you know, very rapidly because folks are focused on saving the money that they have for what's the most important and what's the most vital to survival right now. So all kinds of discretionary spending is going to be down for a substantial amount of time until folks, you know, are back at work and have a degree of economic security that is hard to see that coming down the road anytime right away.
Earlier this year, there were some folks at the national level that were talking about the idea of a universal basic income. Are we at a point where that merits discussion?
I think there's a lot of things that merit more discussion, and that may be one of them. Now, whether it takes the form of as the universal basic income as described, we have to find a way to rebalance how this economy functions and the resources that many, many people have at their disposal. Again, whether it's a universal basic income or some other mechanism, the amount of wealth that has concentrated in a shockingly small number of hands, a shockingly affluent number of hands, is leaving millions and millions of Americans and North Carolinians with just no cushion to fall back on, and scraping by even when the economy is supposedly doing all right. So it's some mechanism of ensuring that people have some basic level of economic security is going to have to be developed. And once we get out of the first initial phase of this crisis, that's the conversation that we need to turn our attention to. This crisis is revealing just how fragile we have left ourselves by allowing an economy to develop that concentrates so much wealth in a tiny number of hands while everybody else is living paycheck to paycheck and barely getting by.
If we turn our attention and focus on what's happening at the state level, House Speaker Tim Moore has said that we are well positioned to deal with this crisis. What do we know about the state's rainy day fund and how much that can absorb the economic impact we're seeing right now?
There's nobody that is prepared for a crisis like this. I think we just need to be honest about that fact. There's no state, and the federal government as well is not positioned to deal with the scope of the immediate crisis. But really, I think this goes back to the previous point. If we've been coming into this in a healthy economic condition, if North Carolina families were economically secure, that they could stand, you know, 6 months to a year without work, had the sort of reserves that it takes to weather a downturn of this magnitude, then maybe we could talk about being well prepared for this crisis. The reality is we didn't have that. And a lot of that rainy day fund that is sitting there and the unappropriated money that is sitting with our state government because we didn't have a budget last year, all of that came at the expense of years and years of underinvesting in our schools, in our healthcare system, in our physical infrastructure, in the health and safety of North Carolinians. So we've left ourselves with an incredible backlog of unmet needs at the state level for years. And so to say that we're in a good shape because we've got some money sitting on the sidelines doesn't match with the reality of how deeply we've been underinvesting in North Carolina for years and years. And it doesn't really acknowledge that we're going to burn through whatever reserves we have sitting on the sidelines a lot faster than I think folks fully appreciate. And particularly if this lasts as long as it looks like it will, we're going to need far more resources to deal with it adequately than we have currently sitting around.
And as you've alluded, unemployment benefits are not robust in size or duration. What should the state be doing now to address that?
Well, we need to do a whole bunch of things. We definitely need to take a long look at increasing immediately the, as you said, both the amount, like the maximum of weekly reimbursement that you can get from unemployment insurance, and the length of time that folks can take unemployment insurance. Both of those things need to be dramatically improved. And we're also seeing a lot of the holes just in the system itself. The unprecedented number of folks that are filing for unemployment insurance have just deluged the system, and we're hearing reports of folks waiting 5-8 hours to even online be able to submit a claim. So we also need to invest in the actual infrastructure of delivering unemployment insurance. So there again is another example of something that we've underinvested in for a long time, that when the economic winds start blowing and you desperately need those systems to be able to ramp up, it just the capacity just isn't there.
Lawmakers are coming back at the end of April. We know that there are a lot of other pressing needs that the state was facing prior to this. How will lawmakers prioritize the many needs that we are going to see in the months to come?
Yeah, and I think everybody's starting to triage how to cope with immediate needs and how to address our longer-term needs that we've left unaddressed. I mean, I think there's a couple of things, though, that rise to the top of the list. I mean, the first, again, is just putting money in people's pockets so that they can survive this. You know, we can't let this become something that forces a lot of people out of their homes, that forces them to chew through every bit of savings that they have, if they're lucky enough to have savings. So while there's some initial relief in the federal bill that was passed, it's not going to be enough to bridge the gap for a lot of families. So that's the first order of priority is, through whatever means, make sure that folks have the ability to stay in their homes, keep the power on, put food on the table. And then secondly, we're going to have to address how to pay for it. We have given out tax cuts to incredibly wealthy folks and big multinational corporations and international corporations going back to 2013. And so we don't have right now the revenue raising capacity to address what's coming down the road. And particularly given the fact that we absolutely have to expect that tax collections under the current system are going to decline dramatically as this economic crisis moves through the system. We're going to have to take a long, hard, sober, and honest look at how much tax breaks we've given to really wealthy folks and go back to some of those decisions and say, you know what, in a time like this, it's time for folks that have benefited the most from the last decade of economic growth to step up and help out North Carolina when the economic winds turn south.
Yeah, we all definitely want to see the economy rebound, but we can't rush this, right? We can't say workers head back to work on a random date if it is not safe. In other words, we have to deal with the health crisis before we can deal with the economic crisis.
That's absolutely right. It's the height of foolishness to try to put a timetable on this crisis, and both from a health point of view and an economic point of view. I would say this is one of those things that needs to be acknowledged about the federal bill. Yes, it's a good initial down payment, but it doesn't have anything in it that will help us if this really does drag on all through this year. You know, if the economic consequences of this crisis extend well through 2020 and potentially even into next year, that bill is not going to be enough. And so at both the federal and the local level and the state level, we need to be putting in place measures that are tied to when we actually exit the economic downturn, not to some arbitrary dates and time. The odds are we'll still be dealing with the consequences of this even into next year. So we need to make sure that our policy response is sustained as long as the need is there.
Yeah, there is a hashtag on social media, In It Together, and that's really where we are right now. We're going to have local, state, and federal officials, as well as all the citizens, pulling together to make this work. Patrick McHugh is the senior economic analyst for the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center. Thanks as always, Patrick.
Well, stay safe and stay sane out there.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember to stay up to date on the latest news about COVID-19 at the State Department of Health and Human Services website. I can also invite you to subscribe to our free newsletter at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.